Hello, my name is Kelly Minter.
And I'm Regina Pinto.
And together, we wrote a cookbook called A Place at the Table. It's all about cooking and community.
And after many years of cooking and serving, we wanted to write a book together.
We're so excited to bring all that we've learned to you about cooking and community in this podcast. Hey, everybody. I'm Kelly Minter, and I am here with Regina Pinto. And today we are so excited because we have a very special guest on the podcast today. We had the opportunity to work with the, and I, notice I'm not saying the, I'm saying the
best
food and photo stylist, not just in Nashville, but I'm going to say in our country. I mean, she is one of the most sought after professionals in our industry. And I know you might be thinking, a food stylist, a photo stylist, like what is that? And so we are so pumped to have Teresa Blackburn with us. You guys are going to love this episode. So Teresa, tell us, how in the world did you get started in the food and photography styling business? I mean, that is a really unique niche. So how did this happen for you?
It was totally an accident, Kelly. It was like, I happened to be, I've always said I was in the right place at the right time.
Okay.
And a certain amount of luck and skill probably came into it.
Well, you've got skill. I can attest to that.
Thank you. And I love what I do. I mean, it was one of those things that growing up in the South, food was like part of everything. You know, it's like my grandmother and my mother, and I watched them do what they did, and I always wanted to, like, improve it, of course, when I was a kid. But anyway, I ended up with an art degree, and that art degree led me by accident to not styling art anymore, but styling food and pretending like it was art. And I still do that to this day. It's about 30 years later, and it was totally by accident. Somebody said, "Can you do this?" And I said, "I don't know, but I'll give it a try."
What was the this when they said?
The first job I ever worked on, it was in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was there was a movie shot here. It was the Patsy Cline story, and it was a long time ago. And I had a friend who was an art director, and she had the job of, for some reason, of doing a lot of the food for that movie. And I'd never done anything like that. And she knew I'd worked part-time at a catering company. And she said, "Hey, can you make like 20 cakes that look exactly alike for a birthday scene in this movie?"
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, "Yeah, probably."
I would have freaked
maybe
out.
And I did. I kind of freaked out and thought, okay, I can do this. But I was ready for a change just in my life in general. So I made 20 birthday cakes for this movie. And I had no idea this world existed. I was kind of in an art and more literature kind of a fine art world. Uh-huh. And so suddenly I'm making cakes for a movie. And
awesome.
The cake had to be cut over, and they had to, of course, do many takes on it. So I made the cakes over a long weekend, gave them to her, never saw them again, never even saw the cake until the split second in the movie. And that was kind of that. Well, then she called me for something else, and then she called me for something else. And one thing led to another, and so I ended up assisting her on photo shoots for about 6 years, still not taking it seriously.
Really?
It's like I thought, nobody really does this for a living. It's like, and I was still doing other things and making art and, you know, have different jobs. You know, when you're out of college, you just kind of make up stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was doing. I never thought that I had to have a real job. I just wanted to enjoy whatever it was I was doing. And it was like, at some point I'm thinking, maybe that's not what I was supposed to learn in college. But
hey,
that was my takeaway.
But you are enjoying it. And that's the thing. We had you on our A Place at the Table cookbook. And Regina.
It was a blessing.
It was awesome. So Regina, you'd be in the back cooking everything. And then you'd bring it to the front where the light was coming in and where our photographer had set up. And then Teresa, you would bring it to life. And it was such a cool, I mean,
it's all magic.
No, but you have
awesome
to understand that when I brought my dish to her, I gave to her, and then she puts in this table, and the photographer started looking at it, and we think, "Oh, Teresa, this is perfect. This is beautiful." Not yet, she said. And she goes down and she moves like 1 millimeter.
I know.
And we said, "It's even better now. How can it be?" And she,
it's
but
magic.
She has the touch.
She's got the touch and the eye. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Teresa, you've got an eye. And I will say that every single one of us, the 9 days or so that we shot together,
it was so good.
Every single one of us walked out of there saying, well, we're in the wrong business. How are we not in the food and photography styling business? Because this is the coolest gig in the world. And I know it's hard. I know it's challenging. But you make it look so easy. And I think it's because you know what you want to see there.
Yes.
And that's maybe for our listeners. What compels you? Like, why is it important for something to be beautiful on the page? Like, talk to us about the art behind that.
Everything to me, it's like, first of all, I like the imperfection, the beauty that is imperfect.
Yes.
Not perfect. I'm not a perfectionist. And when I move things a quarter of an inch or a half an inch or a foot on a photo, on a set, it's not to make it perfect. It's to give it this special thing that is like life. It like brings it to life. And life is not perfect.
Yeah. Right.
Life is beautifully imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a proponent of that. It's like when people go, oh, I'm a perfectionist. And I would just kind of go, well, I feel sorry for you because life is just one big imperfect moment that you... But going back to the photo thing, I kind of bring that to everything I style. And this particular book was a joy for me because sometimes I am just the food stylist, and there's a prop stylist on set that works on the sets, you know, the dishes and the plates and the backgrounds and everything. On this one, working with the photographer and Kelly and Regina, I kind of got to know who you were online and talk. I knew Regina previously. So I had this vision what this book would look like after working with the, with the editor, the book editor. And so I wanted to bring this casual, light, bright, delicious looking, all these elements to this project. And so I really planned it. I mean, I got new props for this book that I hadn't
new props.
Before.
How many props you have?
Yeah, and it takes millions. So I got to do the food styling and the actual photo styling, the prop styling. It was a double joy to me because I could make it like if this is how my life, the imaginary life that you see inside your head, which we all have.
Uh-huh.
You
know,
you have your outside life and then your interior life. This book is like part of my interior life come to fruition. Mm. So, yeah.
We are so happy to be together with you.
We had so much fun.
It was not work. It was like a fun time together.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Teresa is amazing.
Regina would bring she'd be working on a dish, and I'd go back and we'd talk about it. And I had an assistant, Tanya, who was working on this too, who's just a lovely person as well. And Regina would go, oh, no, this doesn't look good. I don't like how this looks. I'm like, Regina, it looks beautifully beautiful. It just looks great. Don't worry. We will take it. And once it gets in that light and the photographer is really, really good, once we get it out there in the light, and we shot this with natural light, which is just the best. It's there, and sometimes you just can't improve on it. And we would set these beautiful dishes down that Regina had made and do. I didn't have to do a whole lot of tweaking, to tell you the truth. And they would just come to life with the backgrounds and the napkins and the flatware and the plates. They blossomed out there. And it was a combination of, you know, Kelly's recipes and Regina's recipes and this vision to empower people to cook and to eat better and to try different things and to that food doesn't have to be something from a drive-thru. It can easily be something you do at home
yourself.
You just do it and not make a big deal. And it doesn't have to look like the cookbook. It has to look like your vision in your head.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I love what you said about the imperfection, Teresa, because that's what... to me, I love that, and I feel like that's reflected in this cookbook because we want people to feel comfortable in our homes, and we want to have people over, and it's not going to be perfect every single time. And in fact, it's not even going to be close to, but it's creating a space of belonging. And honestly, when it is perfect, I get a little nervous
because I
unfortunately don't hit that bar ever.
Yeah.
So I kind of like it when not everything's put together, perfectly. But another thing that I loved, Teresa, that you did was that you brought all these meaningful pieces from like your travel.
Yes. Travel all over the world.
Not all of us have the opportunity to be, all over the world. Every time I follow Teresa on Instagram, she's in Mexico City or she's over in Europe or something. But all of us have gone someplace, and we've gone little places. Maybe it's to the mountains in North Carolina, or maybe we took a special trip to California. And what are you looking for when you see a salt and pepper shaker or a plate, or how does something call to you that you go, okay, I want to bring that back and use that when I have people over?
That is like totally a motivator for travel for me. It's not just seeing the place and getting to interact with people there, but it is like what is like this beautiful and perfect thing I can find and use for a photo shoot later on. So recently I was in Mexico City and I looked online. The first thing I do when I travel anywhere is I look for the flea markets and particular kinds of flea markets. And
I want to follow Teresa.
Flea markets that are close to where my hotel is, and then I look to see what when they're open, and I plan my attack from that. So the first thing, we were in Mexico City less than 24 hours, and I was with my best friend forever, and I said, we're going to the flea market. So we got a taxi. We went to this flea market, and everybody kept saying, oh, are you sure this is not in a good part of town? You know, you should be careful. And I'm like, we're always careful. We're going to go to this flea market. Yeah. It's a flea market. So we had the best day, and I found, you know, antique silver and pieces of little glass plates that are green that I can't wait to use for something. But I'm always collecting wherever I go. And so part of my trip is finding, I mean, I've been in restaurants and I go and ask people, please, could I have one of these to take home? I'm going to use it in a photo shoot to some chef. And they would say, okay, sure, because they don't even know what to say except, okay, this woman's asking me for a plate. Or I've done that with salt and pepper shakers. I've done that with wine glasses. But I always ask, and I end up with a suitcase full of odd treasures that will show up on a photo shoot later on.
It's so cool.
Well, after my own heart, because that's what I do all the time. I was going to ask you the same question because before I go in any trip, I map every restaurant, every food
grocery market,
or farmer's market, and I have to hit them as fast as I can.
Yes.
And then I go to the hotel with all those different fruits and vegetables, and I try everything. My husband thinks, I think she's crazy. But
No, I'm crazy.
But
like
that's my heart,
Oh, it's so much fun. I mean, because you know, you can always go to a souvenir shop and buy a souvenir.
Yeah.
But I always like to get those. And a lot of things I give away. You know, I have two daughters, so they get a lot of things that I come up with. And I think, well, they would really like that. And so I try to share with my friends and people I work with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just look for, and I don't spend a lot of money. I always look, you know,
I was going to ask about that mental thing.
It's like I'm only paying $20 for something, or, you know, I'm not like extravagant. I do not buy fine antiques. I do not buy fine jewelry. I do not buy fine silver. I look for that thing that may be covered in black, you know, age shots.
Tarnish.
But I know I can, tarnished, and I know I can make it look better later on. And if a few of those spots are there, then that's, but my whole house is just that. Like people always say, oh, I bet your house is just perfect. No, it's imperfect. But I love it because everything is something I've collected.
It's meaningful.
Yeah, and I've lived a long time now. So, you know, once you live this long. And I don't have I drive a 10-year-old car, but I travel. I love to travel, and I've always loved it. Since I was a child, I was like, I'm going to travel when I grow up. So,
And bringing those different cultures to the table, too, is just, and it helps, I think, again, it helps tell a story.
Yes.
And then I love, you know, having those pieces. Like, my mom knows I am the sucker for all the things that the rest of the family doesn't want that came from my grandma or my grandpa. I want it. In fact, my aunt just came to town.
Just came with that. Yeah,
I saw
that.
She brought me a huge punch bowl, which who's ever had punch in the last, like, 20 years? I don't know.
But it's making a comeback.
Is it making a comeback?
I think so.
Okay, Tracy, you can talk
to us.
Oh,
good, because now I know where to go to get when I need
I have
to make
this
punch.
Beautiful punch bowl with my grandmother's initials engraved on the side.
Oh.
And I was like, of course I want that punch bowl. And I said, you know, I'm trying to be the nice older like child. I said to my aunt, are you sure nobody else in the family wants it? No. Bring it to me. Because then every time I'm going to serve, and who can, I might put green balls in that thing. I don't know what I'm, you know, from the outdoors or whatever, but whatever I serve in that, I'm going to talk about my grandmother, and I'm going to talk about pulling up to her bar when I was little and her cutting me up Entenmann's donuts and cutting every slice of the grapefruit for me down the sides, every single little bite. And just all those little stories that are going to go with the punch bowl that I remember. And so,
so many memories.
Travels all of that stuff. So Teresa, let's say you're having someone over for dinner, because we're going to take your professional styling hat off, but because you're just an artist at heart, you have a dinner party. Maybe it's casual, maybe it's fancy. How do you approach the setting? How do you approach the tableware or the napkins or whatever? Oh. I mean, you have a garage full,
yes,
which we need to talk about in a second, because most of us don't have that. And I would say none of us.
None of us. I wish I had.
And all that. But how do you think about that? Do you just approach it casually?
Yes. Actually, I plan what I'm going to cook.
Okay.
You know, what the food's going to be. And I always keep it very casual, even if it's for, say, the family. We always have a family dinner on Christmas Eve at our house. And it's have a small family, so there's like maybe 9 people there. And I plan every year, you know, it's like what the dish is going to be on Christmas Eve. We always do Italian, and I do not know why, but it was just been none of us are crazy about it. It's like we're over the turkey and the ham.
Yeah.
That's going to come everywhere else we go. So at our house, we have Italian. But I'll just start like a couple of days before and think about, okay, how do I want the table to look? And literally, I may use a beautiful damask iron tablecloth or not. And then I would put none of my silver matches. I have nothing in my house that matches. So I gather up 9 forks that I like and 9 knives.
Oh, that's going to be freeing for a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just, everything that mismatch, but it's beautiful. My theory of everything is that if you buy or find things that you love, that just speak to you, they're all going to be good together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're going to be drawn, each person has their own aesthetic, so you're going to be drawn, Kelly, to this thing that speaks to you. So if you end up in life with 15 things that speak to you that are different, they're going to look good together because
mm-hmm.
they're like your things.
They all go together. Okay,
so nothing matches at my house.
I love
for
that
a dinner party.
I love that. Well, I don't want to cut you off, but I just want to ask you, because that just all of a sudden really resonated with me, and I think that's going to resonate with our readers or listeners. I love that, because I think one of the obstacles to feeling like we can cook and have people over is that we feel like everything has to be like a Pinterest board, and that we had to get everything from Williams-Sonoma and everything has to match.
No.
And all
the
napkins have to be perfect and ironed. And so set us free, Teresa.
Like, just let that go.
Let it go.
Let that be your mantra. It's like, let it go. Perfect is boring. Imperfect is so interesting. And just pull it together randomly in your gut, like what your gut feeling is. So when I do a dinner party, and my kids love it, and the family loves it, because, you know, I may have one year it might be jars in the middle of the table with the flatware, and you grab your own. But around there, I may go out in the yard and find some sticks. Some sticks with no leaves on them, put them down the middle of the table, put some balls of, you know, Christmas balls around, and have the jars in the middle with forks and knives coming out of them, and some little votives all around. And then, like last year, I went and got some leaves, some like maple leaves, and I wrote everybody's name on it.
You did not.
I did. And I tied it up. And I mean, I do it like it's going to be fancy, but it's not, you know, like, so I'll do little place cards, even though there's 9 people and we all know each other there. I'll do it fancy and then not fancy at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things, and I do this on my blog every year, is I have and we always have Christmas crackers, you know, those things you pop.
Yeah.
And everybody wears
English
the
ones.
Hat, and we have so much fun. And at the end of the night, the table looks so beautiful because the cracker things have exploded all over the table, and there's the empty glasses and the plates, you know, with some, you know, everything is just like a mess. But the candles are still lighting it all, and it's so beautiful. And I always take pictures of it because it's my favorite part.
Like, was a happy night.
Because it's like, it was just lovely.
Life happened.
Yeah, and I have a little house, so I don't have a dining room table.
Yeah.
I make up one. I may put 3 folding tables together. I may put 2 round tables together. So it's really just do what you love. I've even used, you know, beautiful bed sheets for tablecloths before because I didn't have one big enough. I mean, there's just like use your imagination.
But it's funny that you talk about your garden, because that's what I discovered late in life. That, hey, the best flowers and the best arrangements can come from your garden.
Yes.
And like sticks and everything. I used to go now all
sticks
the time to my garden.
And
and I grab everything that I can and put on top of the table, and it's beautiful. You don't need to buy or spend money.